You're tuning in to the Our Church Podcast. This week, guest speaker Erica Isaacs challenges us to make an extraordinary life choice, much like Mary when she was called to bear the impossible. The opposite choice, though, could leave us like the rich young ruler, walking away sad.
Amen. Hey, we're going to welcome Erica. She's going to come bring the word of God tonight.
Thank you. I want to pray. God, thank you so much for this opportunity to get to speak your word. It truly is a privilege. I pray, God, that this would just be my mouth, but your words. That the word that is spoken tonight would be straight from you, and that it would be life-changing in some way. In Jesus' name, amen. How is everyone? Great. So there is one main thing that, I feel like the Lord really put on my heart, but then on the way here, I started hearing all these other things, and so I'm really hoping that it all comes out just the way that God wants it. But the main thing I want to talk about is choices. Pastor Mark has been talking about high places, anything that we try to mix our way with some of God's way. And he's been talking about bringing down the high places in our life. And what the Lord has been speaking to me is now it's your choice whether or not you bring them down. And so we have the opportunity tonight to... We get the opportunity tonight to use the gift of choice that God gave us. Out of all of creation, we are the ones that he gave the choice to. We get to choose him or us. And because he is a loving father, he will let us choose whatever we want. And he will let us ride out whatever that choice is. I remember the day that God gave me my ultimate choice, my salvation choice. For those of you who don't know me, I used to be into drugs and addicted and things like that, and I was sitting on a friend's porch, and I heard this voice say, we were getting high, and I heard this voice say, is this what you want? Is this all you want? And I had no idea what I want. I knew I was raised in the church, and I knew there had to be more to whatever I was doing than this. And so I called, who is now my husband, and I was like, I need to know about the Jesus that you serve because I don't know what I want, but it can't be this. And I ended up getting saved. But when I look back, the Lord, I feel like it was the Lord giving me a moment. Erica, is this what you want? It was a, it's, you need to decide. Is this the life that you want or not? And I luckily chose that I didn't. I didn't know it at the time, but my mom, my aunt, my boyfriend at the time had been praying and fasting for me. So the impossible case ended up getting saved, thankfully. So we're going to turn to Matthew 19, 16 through 26, the rich young ruler. We have heard the story of the rich young ruler a lot, so I want you to try to still stay with me and hear it, and maybe with new ears. Like, what is the new thing, God, that you're trying to say? The rich young ruler was, because it says the rich young ruler was either a prince or a public official, something of importance and position. Because he was young, this is my assumption, but normally I would assume that maybe he was raised in it or that it was handed down to him, or maybe he just made a lot of really good choices to get to this good life of his where he had lots of money and he was some sort of ruler. Either way, he probably came from a good home. He had a comfortable life going. He had a good life going. So it says that this man comes to Jesus and says, Teacher, what good thing must I do to have eternal life? Why ask me about what is good? Jesus replied, There is only one good. But to answer your question, if you want to receive eternal life, keep the commandments. Which one? The man asks. And Jesus replied, "You must not murder, you must not commit adultery, you must not steal, you must not testify falsely, honor your father and mother, love your neighbor as yourself." "I've obeyed all these commands," the young man replied. "What else must I do?" Jesus told him, "If you want to be perfect, go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come follow me." But when the young man heard this, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "I tell you the truth, it is very hard for the rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. I'll say it again, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven." The disciples were astonished. "Then who in the world can be saved?" they asked. Jesus looked at them intently and said, "Humanly speaking, it is impossible, but with God, everything is possible." This man had everything. He was sitting pretty. He had his money. He had whatever he was the ruler of. And when Jesus is going over the commandments with him, Jesus is not saying that you can earn your way into heaven. He is simply stating that this is God's standard. And then the rich young ruler says, "I have done all these things." But if you look back, the last commandment that Jesus mentioned is the one about caring for others. Where did it go? Oh, love your neighbor as yourself. But when Jesus says to go all and sell all your possessions and give to the poor, he didn't love them enough to treat them like he treated himself. So even though he believed he was right, he believed he was good, but sometimes there's a scripture that says that you can be deceived. It's not coming to mind. When I was practicing this, it was there. There's a way that seems right to a man but ends in destruction. And this man thought he was right. He said, "Go and sell all your possessions and give your money to the poor." And at that, the man walked away sad because he realized that he wanted God, but he didn't love God. He loved himself. He didn't love the people. He loved him. He loved his stuff. Even though he came to him, like, he didn't just walk up to Jesus to pass time. It wasn't like he probably had other things going on, but he wanted him. He wanted to know something about what the Lord had, but when the Lord gave him the crossroad of, "Is this really what you want?" he walked away sad. Jesus invited him to see the impossible. There is that part there where Jesus says, "Go and sell all your stuff and then come and follow me." That's the same thing that he said with the disciples. The disciples got to get rid of all their stuff and follow Jesus. They watched dead people raised to life. They watched blind people see, deaf people hear, sick people be healed. I mean, they got to go out and see impossible things, but this man traded his opportunity to see impossible to go back to his ordinary, to go back to his mundane, because that's what he was comfortable with. He was comfortable with his things that he had got together. He was comfortable with his job. He was comfortable with the way he did things. And so he decided, instead of walking with this man who's doing the impossible, I'm going to go back and do the things that I'm used to doing. And he walked away sad. He traded his joy for his world. Every day, that man had to live with, "I wonder what would have things been like if." And I put that in my shoes. If God asks me to bring down this high place and I choose not to, what will my life be like if? What will my kids' life be like if? Because if he blesses generation to generation and curses generation to generation, what does this say for their future? What does this say for my friends and family that I really want to know the Lord? If I hold on to what could be little things that we consider little things, if I keep watching this show and my kid walks in and hears some of the words, what does it mean for him later on when he sees it? When I have a bad reaction to that person that I want to see saved, what does that say to them when they have a bad thing on them? Christians act this way. So the what if, this man slept every night with the what if I would have sold everything. What if I would have given it all away? Would he have walked away sad that day? Would he have traded the world? But he didn't. He gained the world and he lost his soul and he knew it. But he still went to it. That blows me away. It makes me wonder, would we do that? Like if Jesus stood in front of us and said, go sell everything, would we rather walk away sad? Or would we rather trade in whatever that was, trusting that God knew what was best for us? The next person is so much lighter to talk about, Mary. Mary is also very young, and she's engaged, which makes her, in my book, to be a teenager and engaged is kind of awesome. But she's engaged to be married to Joseph, and it says a descendant of King David, and I kind of laughed because I wonder if that was like, hey, my daughter Mary, she's getting engaged to the descendant of King David. Like if that's something, some kind of family pride there that was going on. So Jesus, no, not Jesus at the time, but God comes, sends an angel to Mary in Luke 1, 26 through 38. And it says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a woman named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think about what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month, for the word of God will never fail." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything that you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. Mary knew what this angel was asking of her. To give birth to a baby as a teenager who's engaged. It's saying, Mary, are you willing to give up your reputation? Are you willing to give up your family? Are you willing to give up this descendant of King David? Are you willing to be known as the town nut? Like, the Holy Spirit gave me this baby. Mary, are you willing? Because, so later, this is an assumption again, but later when Elizabeth finds out that she's pregnant or comes and they have this greeting, Mary sings this song, and the song that she's singing has the Old Testament weaved all through it. So I wonder, did Mary know that this king that she was going to be conceiving would be pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our sin? So Mary, will you give up your reputation, your family, your husband, your past, your future, so that you can raise a boy? And if anybody, this, I could be totally wrong about this, but if you have a son, or if you happen to be married to a mama's boy, you know that mamas love their sons differently. Not more, just different. You are that little baby boy's first love. And that's your man until somebody else comes in and takes him. So Mary, will you give up your man for the rest of the world? And Mary says, I am the Lord's servant. May all that you have said about me come true. And for the rest of Mary's life, and at times it was hard, but for the rest of her life, she knew that she was living an impossible moment. She knew that she was looking at the face of God because she had was willing to give up everything for the Lord. When the Lord came to her, she could have easily, like, I'm sorry, you have the wrong person. But she didn't. She was willing to go through whatever God was calling her to give birth to the Savior of the world and to give birth to the impossible in her life. She chose God because she loved him. What's mind-blowing to me is people in the Old Testament who chose God without the cross being there as like for us, it's almost not easy, but it's so much easier to choose the Lord because he died for us. Like that song saying, like, there's no limit to where he will go. Where was your salvation met? Where did he go to come and get you? Mine was a porch, but other people have different places and things, but God loves us so much, and he just is like, will you give me everything back? And so this is going to be really short, guys. Actually, the worship team can come up. So with all the things that God has been speaking to us as a church and things that the Lord wants in our lives, the places that we haven't quite given God or that we know that he's calling us to, now is the time for you guys to choose. What do you want? Do you want to walk away sad and wonder for the rest of your life, what if I would have done? What would my family look like? What would my kids look like? What would my coworkers look like? What would my friends and family look like? You guys, I have people that I am praying for that if God does not come through for them, it is not happening. And their salvation is riding on my salvation, my total commitment. It says the prayers of the righteous prevaileth much. And if we really want to see the world change, if we really want to see our lives change, our kids' lives change, then it starts with what are the choices that we're going to make? Are we going to choose Jesus in this moment, or are we going to choose us? Are we going to walk away sad? Are we going to walk away and wish that we would have responded to the Lord? Or are we going to respond to the Lord and see the impossible? Sometimes it's going to hurt. But knowing that you've lived out the impossible and knowing that eternity is what we've got going for this is so worth it. God, thank you again for this opportunity. I pray, God, that we wouldn't want to live ordinary lives, that we wouldn't want to gain the world, but that we would want to live extraordinary, impossible lives. That get to see other people live extraordinary, impossible lives. That we would choose you. In Jesus' name, amen.
To stay connected with our church, you can like us on Facebook. You can also follow us on Twitter using the handle @TryOurChurch. Or you could send us an email to info@TryOurChurch.com. If you'd like to financially partner with our church in carrying out the Great Commission, you can do so through Text to Give. Just send a text message to 443-201-7266 and include your dollar amount. Thanks for tuning in.